This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 407. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication tools in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Microsoft, your go-to resource for collaboration tools your company needs to be successful. Well, on today's show, we'll take a closer look at e-commerce and more specifically, mobile commerce for the holidays. Plus, got an agenda for your company. You know, you can't push it alone. You can't be a lone ranger. How to find people to work with you and convert the folks that are actually inside your organization working against you. Plus, if there's one thing that can make or break a deal, it's etiquette. What are the biggest do's and don'ts that can cement the relationship or send it crashing? We have an expert here on today's show to give you a little 911 in this area. Plus, you know, besides wanting to know how to set up your corporation, you got a couple choices, C, LLC, S. We'll also take a look at a new form of corporation called B corporations. But first, despite the internet, social media, jet travel, there are more people living alone than any other time in history and more depression than ever recorded. As we've seen in this election, there continues to be violence to each other and ourselves and continues to cast a long shadow across all people. We are fragmented individually and collectively to the point of vile speech and hate crimes based on division. So how do we heal? How do we become more connected? To show us how and the way back is Christine Mason, who's been a leader in the tech sector for 20 years as a venture-backed founder and CEO of several companies. She's the curator of 9 TEDx events, the convener of Naked Conversations, and the founder of Love Spring. She's got a new book out. It's called Indivisible. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. That's a very long introduction, but I'm really glad to be here.
But well worth it. So it seems strange that with the internet and social media and people making it so much easier to connect, Christine, that really people are lonelier and more alienated from each other than ever. Why is that?
There's some really interesting data that shows that it really depends on how people use social media. People who use social media to enhance the relationships that they have offline, to sort of stay connected with people they already know in person or to coordinate activities offline, really feel greater. It magnifies their network. But that people who use it in isolation, the social media magnifies the sense of loneliness. I think that we're working at a time when so many forces in the culture have brought people to a point where they are living alone. They are working alone. They're spending a lot of time in their car. The decline of community, in-person touch, activity together has really created a sense of being without a group to hold you.
And so how do we really, I guess, fight against that? Because I think it's true. We're in all this together, but we're really alone. So how do we fight our way back to make those connections?
Yeah, I think let me even take it back a step further. A lot of us have, particularly those of us who are entrepreneurs and people who've been brought up to think, you know, if I just buck up and cowboy up and do it myself, that I'm going to be able to create something in the world. And while, you know, that's true, it takes a lot of personal energy to get something off the ground. We all know that what it really takes is a team that's pulling together and people who are pulling together. But there remains this mythology, particularly for men, about being sort of superheroes or cowboys or lone rangers who are going to come in and save the day. And it's resulted in an almost pathological individualism in the culture. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we might start with is saying, is doing an acknowledgement every single day on how absolutely everything we do and accomplish in the world rests on the shoulders of the people who came before us, requires the hands of thousands. I can't even drink a cup of coffee without being dependent on the web of people who have made the cup, ground the beans, shipped the beans, all of that stuff. If you start to break down the supply chain, you see your deep interconnection all the time.
Yeah,
and then I would say the next component is, to feel connected, we have to be able to open ourselves up to others. And otherwise, the connection is sort of blocked. The port is blocked, as it were. And that we've learned over a lifetime to hide who we really are, what we're really thinking, what we're really feeling, in order to put masks on that make us accepted. So the second thing is to work on your own inner life and be able to come out in bravery and courage and share who you really are and let people deal with you at that level.
You know, Christine, it's so interesting because I think that in America, we do have this culture of individualism, and I think it's hard to fight against that. And what's fascinating about me, what you just said, was that it's easier than ever to make connections with people. In fact, we're open all the time where we're getting interruptions, but also social media makes it easier than ever, or the web makes it easier than ever to actually hide who we really are. So you have all these things working against each other, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, the interesting one calls it the highlight reel. Like, social media is the highlight reel of your life. Don't compare someone else's highlight reel to your internal existence. You know, the ups and downs you have every day. But I do think it's really important to begin convening community and to be having sort of a trusted environment where you can let yourself out, warts and all, you know, and even in families that often doesn't happen. Now, you know, the start of my book was from not, you know, not from this abstraction of connection. It was because my mom had been murdered. And I wanted to understand what it was in people that could cause them to go to the point of harming another being. And when I started doing the research on violence, it backed me into this broader thesis, which is that violence is just the ultimate form of a deeper problem, which is this disconnection where we see ourselves separate from another person, and in that separation can treat them badly. So what I learned in the research is that loneliness and anger and violence and all that stuff are along the same continuum. So we might not, you know, see it as particularly, like we might not think of ourselves as someone who's going to encounter murder or crime, but what is it that lets somebody come out on the internet and threaten someone else's life for sharing an idea? What happened to the civility of the society? So I wanted to learn more about that, and I went to Bhutan last year for the Gross National Happiness Conference, and what I learned there was astonishing to me. They were a monarchy, and they decided to become a democracy. And in order to become a democracy, they put in place what they call enlightenment education, because the king believed that in order to enter into civil discourse and be a good citizen, that you had to be able to manage your own emotions, to know your own mind, and to enter into any dialogue or decision-making process with compassion for the other person first. And I was like, whoa, can you imagine that, Barry? Can you imagine if the basis of political and civil discourse was holding your own center, and then from that point, entering into dialogue with someone else respectfully and compassionately?
Well, you know, you did just very quickly, another minute left. You did a lot of research for this book. You traveled all over the world. What's one of your favorite stories of what you found as far as some people were able to go through these transformations?
Yes. So I did a lot of work not only around the world. I, you know, I went into the prisons. I worked in the prisons for a number of years. And I think my favorite story is this guy that I met in Nevada. His name is Chuck. And he was sitting there holding this little tiny dog. And I asked him about the dog. And he said, oh, this one was covered in matted barbed wire and 8 pounds lighter than she is now. And I snatched her from the owner's arms and said, I'm taking this dog. And in the process of talking with him, he said, I asked him, you know, how did you become this rescuer of dogs? He said that he had rescued over 200 dogs. And he said when he was a child that his father, who was an alcoholic, had come in and said to Chuck that he didn't like the looks of his own dog and he should take that dog up back and shoot it. And he did at 9. And he had something that switched in him that said, I will never do to another being what was done to me, mm-hmm. and spent the rest of his life working to atone. And so I think the learning from this is that the instances that produce our greatest suffering and alienation may also be the places where we can serve with the most understanding. It can give us the source of our mission.
Wow.
So there's no accident that my work has gone from nonviolence and anger and connection due to my original circumstances, but neither is it an accident that Chuck's an animal activist or that people who work on climate are the ones who have fallen in love with nature the most.
So, Christine, I got to end it there. We're out of time for this segment, but it's a wonderful story. I love the book, and I hope more people pick it up. The book is called Indivisible. Christine, thanks so much for being on the show.
Okay, thanks, Barry. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Coming up, you got an agenda for your company? You can't do it alone. How to get people to pile on board. This AM560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeVanches with a look at your roadways. Traveling out on the Dan Ryan, the express lanes are closed on the outbound Dan Ryan all the way out to 47th Street. Crews are investigating a much earlier crash and car fire. Local lanes hitting the brakes just a little bit from 43rd on out to 47th Street, with people slowing down to look at all the commotion in those express lanes. Now flipping it around, coming inbound on the Ryan, the brand new flyover ramp from the inbound Ryan to the outbound Eisenhower is open for business. Outbound on I-57 at Sibley, there's a spin-out accident on that exit ramp. If you're traveling on Lakeshore Drive north or south, that's wide open. Today, snow showers, 1 to 3 inches likely, with a winter weather advisory. Currently, it's 32 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM560, The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
Hi, I'm Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen of Dr. Amy and Associates. As an integrative health and wellness center, we take a team approach to your health care, so we welcome the opportunity to work collaboratively with your current health care provider. We're different from today's typical standard of care, because our focus is on understanding the root cause of your health problem, not just treating the symptoms. It's a personalized approach that explores a wide range of proven treatments and one that's focused on helping you achieve your health and wellness goals so you can achieve a full, happy, and satisfying life.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit DrAmyAndAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates. Empowering people, changing lives.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM560, The Answer.
Well, every single small business owner wants to push their agenda with their team or their customers, but most of us find out that you can't do it alone. You have to build a coalition inside and outside your company. Here to show us how is Sam Bacharach, the author of The Agenda Mover and a professor at Cornell University. He's the co-founder of New York-based Bacharach Leadership Group and a regular columnist for Inc. He has written more than 20 books, including Get Them on Your Side and also Keep Them on Your Side. Sam, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Arch.
So let's talk about pushing your agenda, because there really is a danger of trying to be a lone ranger and going out there by yourself, right?
The one thing we tend to do in our culture is we over-glorify this whole idea of the long ranger, the charismatic person, or the person with a brilliant idea. The basic premise of the work that I've done in the last 30 years, certainly seeing in corporations and in a lot with small business, is people have this whole notion, I've got this great idea, it's going to stick. Well, we don't have a great idea problem. We have an execution problem.
Absolutely.
And most of the time, many of you listen to this sitting there, how come it didn't work? How come I, and they keep on thinking up that ideas didn't work. No, what didn't work is your inability to move that agenda ahead. So as the book says, a great idea is simply not enough. And I got to tell you, I got that line from Thomas Edison, not for me.
Yeah, a great idea is just an idea. Business is not about ideas. It's really about the execution of the ideas. So if you're going to execute, how do you put together, and I guess, where do you find that coalition of people to execute your plan?
Well, it's most of the time we don't have a problem identifying the people we need in our corner. I mean, whether we're doing a VC pitch, whether we're a small business needing to align with customers, to come up with, understand customers' problems so we can come up with a solution, or whether we're trying to move an innovation organization, we don't have trouble identifying who we need. What happens is we don't do our homework when we go to those meetings. We blow the art of building that coalition because we make certain very fundamental mistakes consistently. And I've seen this, there's a lot of research on this. Consistently, we know who we need. How many times have you been in an office? Have you been in a meeting? And you know exactly who you're talking to, but somehow you were brilliant about talking about your idea. You were so clear. You really hit it out of the ballpark, and you walked away, and you blew the whole thing.
Absolutely.
The point is, it's the little micro things that we mess up. And those are very specific things I can elaborate
on. Yeah, so tell us about the things we usually mess up.
For example, look, I mean, as someone trying to move an agenda, and I want to make the point about agenda very clearly. You could be, let's even talk about customer relations. What are you trying to do? You're trying to move an agenda of customers. Most of these times, even in small business, we're trying to more deeply understand the customer. So we're trying to engage everyone, whether you're looking for support, looking for customers, getting people. We're trying to get people to align their priorities with our priorities. And we may not be their top priorities. That's our number one goal. So what are the mistakes we make? One of the classic mistakes we make is we're so too busy focusing on what we're trying to push and what we're trying to sell and what we're trying to get them to buy into. We don't focus on their points of resistance. We don't anticipate where they're coming from. I mean, essentially, moving an agenda, you're a campaign manager. You first have to anticipate where people are coming from. You then got to mobilize their support, and then you've got to negotiate their buy-in. But let me just show you a small issue. You walk into a meeting, and you're talking away a mile an hour about what you have and what you can offer. But did you actually anticipate the critical questions that they may ask you? And there are that many. I mean, the critical, what I call the yes, but questions, the type of questions that they're going to ask you. Do you understand where they're coming from? Do you understand what their specific agenda? You know what their political agenda is in terms of what you're coming from. So one of my points is, how do you get people to focus on the other person? You know, how do you get them to focus on the other person? And that becomes essential. That is one of the biggest mistakes people make in all settings. You know, stop selling to them. Try to win them over by understanding their pain, understanding their agenda.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, Sam, because I think a lot of people don't do that because they're such on a mission to sell you on what they're talking about that they don't want to consider your point of view, right?
Right. And the point is, we have to have this whole idea of an agile pitch. You're trying to win someone over. That means you have to be sort of very mindful about where their points of anxiety is, what their concern is. How do I phrase what I am trying to get them to do in a language that's grounded in their reality? You know, I remember years and years ago, God knows too many years ago, I was defending my dissertation at the University of Wisconsin. And the first time I defended it, I flunked. 2 weeks later, I did much better because the second time around, I spent a lot of time reading the dissertations of my very smart committee. I understood where they're coming from. You know, stop focusing on what you want to sell, what you want to push. You got it. Start focusing on where they're coming from. And, you know, and even in terms of justifying your idea, how do you justify your idea to them? How do you establish your credibility? These become actually very essential issues. And there's some very specific tools that allow you. Let me give you one example. We often talk about resistance. We often talk about how can we overcome it. Look, think about justifying your agenda. And when I say to you, justify an idea, you think, oh, there are tons of ways of doing it. No, they're not. There are about four or five ways. One, you can look at the numbers. You can tell people, look at the numbers. You can tell them everyone's doing it, sort of a best practice argument. You can tell them people are forcing us to do it. You can tell them people expect us to. What I'm asking you to do is do your homework about very specific things. And in this book, The Agenda Mover, that's what we try to delineate. The specific things you need to do to move your ideas in an organization or in a small business.
But Sam, how do you get people over the fear to face new ideas? Because I think in some organizations, doing something different probably is the biggest stumbling block.
And here's the issue. There's tons of work that we know that, okay, there's all these cliches that people have in terms of other people having fear. Well, rather than some keep it on the fear level and the resistance level, what do we do with it? All right, let me give you an example. You know that they've got an anxiety about change. Then couch everything in their reality. Do their homework about their reality. Don't assume that they're not going to be fearful. Why should they change? If they're afraid of taking risks, give them quantitative notions of what the risk really means. If you get some hesitation, accept the hesitation and give them evidence what it means. All too often, we don't do real work on people's fears, and we don't focus on people's fears. We just focus on our idea, and that's a very critical notion. In the book, we sort of specify 7 or 8 ways that by which you really have to focus on their fears. You know, and if this sounds to you that I believe that leaders are salespeople and are trying to win us all over. Well, we're speaking here, and by the time this is aired, we'll be after the election. But we're speaking here on the eve of two people in this country trying to move their agendas and all that. We're sitting out there, and the person that's going to win are the ones that win us over by addressing our fears and our anxieties and our needs. If that's true in our political campaign, why is it not also true when you're trying to move your business?
Sam, and then what do you do to the people that are your natural allies? How do you give them, I guess, the arguments or the ammunition to help them move your agenda forward?
Well, you know, another simple notion. It's not simply how do you – first of all, we often spend in the business world, we spend a lot of time almost too much time speaking to our natural allies, okay? My whole notion is give your allies enough information so they can legitimize and talk on your behalf. But don't worry at the same time talking to the resistors. You know, we spend a lot of time talking. Most of our lives we spend on all aspects. We love spending time with people that tell us what we're doing is great and they agree with us. My whole point is staying with your base, staying with your allies. Also reach out to those people that are resisting and begin to know how to win them over completely. The other thing is, how do you actually make sure that your allies, we all have allies, but most of our allies in business are passive. That is, people that agree with us, they don't want to offend us. How do you make those allies active and acting on your behalf? That becomes the critical trick. Because most of our allies, you know, it's like that friend that you say, listen, do you know anybody I could hire? And they say, yeah, I'll get back to you. They never do. They don't disagree with you. We have passive allies. We need to create. People have to learn how to create active allies.
Agreed, Sam. I got to leave it there. We're out of time. If you want to reach Sam, go to www.blg-lead.com. The name of the book is called The Agenda Mover. Sam, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Coming up, how your etiquette and manners could make or break a deal. This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Rich Dennison. Investigators sifting through a collapsed Oakland, California warehouse where at least 9 died yesterday when a fire broke out during a party. The number killed likely to rise as about 24 remain unaccounted for. This man is a boyfriend of one of those still missing.
We'll see what happens. We're hoping for the best.
Investigators still trying to determine what sparked that deadly fire. 2 children are among the 4 killed in an Akron, Ohio fire early yesterday.
What weighs on the mind of our first responders, they're prepared to do their job and they're prepared to do it again tomorrow. But that is, it's something hard to take when we have a tragedy such as this.
Fire Lieutenant Sergi Lash says there were no working smoke detectors in the home. Cuba is nearing the end of its 9-day public mourning for Fidel Castro. Today, his ashes will be buried in the eastern city of Santiago. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. On the outbound Dan Ryan, all express lanes still blocked all the way out to 47th Street as crews are out there investigating a much earlier accident. Local lanes on the outbound Ryan a little bit tight, 43rd out to 47th with gapers to what's going down in those express lanes. Flipping it around, coming in on the Ryan, the brand new flyover ramp from the inbound Ryan to the outbound Eisenhower has been completed. Traveling on the outbound side of I-57 at Sibley, a crash. This report brought to you by Sam's Club. With the Sam's Club membership, you enjoy great savings every time you shop. Get holiday ready with over $4,400 of instant savings offers. Stop by or visit samsclub.com today. Join and save Sam's Club. Life is better in the club. See club for details. A winter weather advisory today, 1 to 3 inches likely, a high of 35. Currently 32. Next update in 15 minutes on AM560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies has reached consumers in every state in the union. World-renowned celebrities, famous athletes, top news commentators, thousands of professionals, and yes, hundreds of doctors. Here's Dr. Watkins.
Balance of Nature selects only the highest quality ripened fruits and vegetables with all of their phytochemicals and no substitutes. In today's modern diet, it is essential to add Balance of Nature to your life.
With the tremendous success of Dr. Howard's free set of fruits and veggies giveaway and the 120-day health challenge, this holiday season we are doubling down. Call now and see how you can get your free month supply of fruits and veggies, plus a month supply of fiber and spice, over a $100 value, absolutely free.
Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, as they say in the next Star Wars segment, The Rogue, a long, long time ago in a universe very far away from here, I was in college. And my high school girlfriend wanted me to, actually, she wanted to train me on how to use a fork and knife because I couldn't do it properly and I was going to meet her parents. Well, in social and business, there are a lot of sorts of etiquette mistakes that people can make that really can crash that relationship. Here to help us is Sharon Schweitzer. She's a cross-cultural consultant, business etiquette expert, best-selling international award-winning author. She's built a career around understanding cultural differences and the tremendous role they play in building strong and successful international business relationships. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. I'm delighted to be here.
So I finally learned how to use a fork and knife, thanks to my girlfriend's education before meeting their parents. But what are some of the, when you go out to, one of the best things you can do with a prospect or a client is really to have a meal with them. And you can tell a lot about someone by just sitting down eating with them. What kind of mistakes do people make that can really hurt a relationship?
Well, one of the first things that I think people don't understand, Barry, and I think your listeners will appreciate this, is when you're invited to a business lunch or a business dinner, you are not invited because they think you're hungry or thirsty. So you need to realize going in that they are inviting you to a certain extent because they want to evaluate your social skills. They're trying to figure out whether they want to have you in the boardroom, whether they want you to be with their clients. And if you're a young college student and you're being interviewed, they're trying to figure out whether you are going to be a culture fit for the company.
It's interesting, Sharon, because when I was younger, I used to go for interviews. Whenever I used to have a lunch meal with them, I always ate something that was going to be very easy to eat and not something like spaghetti or salad that could possibly get on whatever I was wearing. So I really can relate to that.
You were brilliant at a very young age, Barry.
That's what my mother says.
Well, she's correct.
That's good. So you're sitting there and you're, you know, eating with a prospect or customer. What kinds of things should you be aware of?
Well, as a guest, you have some duties. So what you want to do is, first of all, when you're invited, of course, RSVP right away, hopefully within 24 to 48 hours. Secondly, you want to watch the host for cues. So you want to follow their lead. In other words, don't sit down at the table until they tell you where to sit, because they'll probably direct you. So don't go just plop yourself down in the chair. Number two, you want to wait until you see when the host puts their napkin in their lap, because they may want to sit and talk for a while. They may want to do a toast. There may be several things they do before they put their napkin in their lap. But once they do that, then that's the signal to start the meal. Now, the other thing that you want to know is at the end of the meal, that host is going to place their loosely folded napkin to the left side, and that's the signal that the meal is over. So as a guest, you don't want to order a double latte cappuccino with chocolate peppermint sprinkles on top, because they're ready to end the meal and leave and maybe go somewhere else with you, maybe karaoke or go dancing, but they certainly don't want to order anything else, so you need to be aware of that. The other thing you want to do is, as a guest, you want to ask the host for suggestions, because you don't want to go rogue and order some kind of a lobster thermidor if your host is going to order a chicken salad. So ask the host, what would you suggest from the menu, or what are your favorite items? And that host will give you a high and low range so that you know, okay, these are the safe items to order. And then you want to stick with that. And I encourage my colleagues to order something in the 30 to 40 percentile. So don't go really high and order something that's in the top, you know, 80% of the most expensive items on the menu. But be moderate in your ordering. So the other thing you want to do is close your menu when you're ready to order. If you're sitting there as a guest, everyone else has closed their menu, placed it down on the table, and you're sitting there talking with your menu open, none of the servers are going to come over because they think you're not, you haven't made a decision.
Sharon, one of the biggest questions that really comes up, and we got about another minute left, is should you drink alcohol or not at the meal?
Well, again, I would follow the host's cues. If the host doesn't drink alcohol, I wouldn't. Now, if you don't drink alcohol because you don't for medical reasons or for spiritual or religious reasons, then you don't have to feel pressured to drink alcohol. And you can just say, I'll have an iced tea, please. Thank you. And don't feel pressured. You don't have to feel like you need to drink. And if someone says, well, aren't you going to have alcohol? You can say, I'm going to live vicariously through you and just let them have their alcohol. If you do want to drink, you need to do it in moderation. So it's appropriate to have 1 to 2 drinks at a business meal and then decide you're going to stick with water or something else.
Well, Sharon, I think this is great advice. You can get in touch with Sharon at www.protocolww.com. We're only able to get to the tip of the iceberg, but there's so much more. Sharon, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Barry. Thank you.
Well, coming up, we've all got to get ready for the holidays, the biggest retail time of the year. What lies ahead for e-commerce? But more importantly, what lies ahead for m-commerce, mobile commerce? Coming up, we tackle that topic. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the AM 560 Traffic Center.
Good Sunday morning. I'm Mary DeBadges with a look at your roadways. All of the Dan Ryan Express lanes outbound are shut down all the way out to 47th Street. Crews are out there investigating an earlier double fatal accident. Now, the local lanes on the outbound Dan Ryan, a little bit tight from 43rd on out to 47th, with everybody slowing down to look at everything that's happening in those express lanes. Downtown out to 95th in 18 minutes, flipping it around, coming in. Good news there. Crews have opened a brand new flyover ramp from the inbound Ryan to the outbound Eisenhower. That's a little bit ahead of schedule. Headed out on I-57 at the Sibley Boulevard, there's a spin-out accident on that exit ramp. In Hyde Park, a crash at Cornell, north of 57th. A winter weather advisory today, 1 to 3 inches expected, high 35, currently 32. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Microsoft knows the only constant is change, especially when it comes to technology we use to help run our businesses. Technology should be an asset, one that helps you to anticipate, manage, and respond quickly to change. It should also help your organization reduce costs and get more from the investments you make. Looking at the new tools and services coming out of Microsoft, it's immediately evident that the company is revolutionizing how it helps small businesses. Microsoft not only gets what small business need, but also how they want to work. When it comes to growing with greater efficiency, Microsoft technologies such as Office 365, Power BI, and the Azure Cloud Platform are helping small businesses answer some key questions. One, how quickly can we get new employees up and running with the tools they need? Two, how do we keep up with the massive growth in data needed to do business today? Three, are we getting the maximum return on our technology investments? With Microsoft, small businesses get solutions that help them grow their business with greater efficiency by reducing costs and getting exactly the technology you need when you need it. To learn more about the Microsoft products and services that will help give your company a competitive edge, visit modern.biz today. That's modern.biz.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, holiday shopping is already in full swing, and this year is going to be no different with so much of the purchasing being done on the web. Here to talk about that is Tom Caparasso. He's the CEO of Claris Commerce, a recognized leader in e-commerce and subscription commerce solutions. Tom is not only expert in e-commerce, but is also particularly sought after for his knowledge on m-commerce, holiday shopping trends, subscription services, and loyalty solutions. Tom expert commentary has been shared on Fox Business, CNN Money, CNET Business Insider, and Inc. Magazine. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me.
So every year, the expectations get bigger and bigger that more of the shopping for this time of year in December is going to be done on the web. How are things looking for this holiday season?
No different. This year, when all is said and done, e-commerce will probably grow just about 17 to 25% when it's all calculated. So, again, more and more people are moving to e-commerce, making their purchase online, having it shipped to their house, and then ultimately presenting the presents that way. So definitely the trend continues.
And why is that? Is it because it's so convenient and that the retailers have gotten so good at shipping things the same day or overnight or today?
Yeah, I think all that plays into it. I think it's learning over the last couple of years of what the consumers want. Definitely free shipping, free return shipping in some cases is important. Fast shipping continues to rise up in either the same day or 2 day. The selection of products online has grown from a SKU level. So more and more items are there and they're getting to the consumer faster and faster, and you don't need to deal with the parking and people of the brick and mortar malls.
Now, a lot of retailers are now counting on a loyalty model, a subscription that they already have, their relationship they already have with their customer, kind of like Amazon Prime. Talk about that and what role that's really going to play in this holiday season.
For sure, subscription loyalty programs have definitely been on the rise the last, 2 years or so, with kind of Amazon Prime leading the way as the gold standard in the industry. Really what subscription loyalty programs are doing are getting those great customers, letting them raise their hand and sign up to shop at that retailer. But what they're truly doing is attracting the right customers. They're locking those customers in, and then they're expanding that base because they're driving real value through these subscription loyalty programs. So, again, Amazon Prime is at the forefront, but others like FreeShipping.com, Restoration Hardware, lots of other retailers are out there promoting subscription-based loyalty programs.
So what other ideas do you have for the small business retail company in order to do something like Amazon, but of course they're not Amazon?
Well, the old loyalty programs got an email and you pushed out promotions. What subscription commerce does or subscription loyalty does is the ability to drive more value into those programs, because in some cases that subscription fee is subsidizing a higher value offer. You're right, from a small business, you can't do what Amazon Prime's doing, because it's not just two-day shipping, it's lending library and streaming video. But what you can do is either build your own subscription loyalty program with high value offers for your store. That gives those folks a little bit extra. They're raising their hand, they're paying a fee. Give them really high value benefits that will drive them back and ultimately make your store, your business, the first place they think about online.
And the other thing is, how important does the retailer having actually a mobile site, not a regular website that you can see on a mobile device, but a real mobile site, how much does that play into how much business they can expect customers to do with them?
Well, mobile, as e-commerce grows, mobile commerce grows even more than that. You think about it, everybody has a computer in their pocket these days. They're using it much more to search for items, to look at reviews, and ultimately to make purchases. And that's really what's happening as the biggest trend this holiday season is the rise and the reign of mobile commerce. I mean, for small businesses or you know even mid or large businesses, they need a clean, intuitive mobile site. It's different from a e-commerce site. It needs to be built for that smaller screen. Either responsive design is one way, but thinking mobile first is a lot of what we try to do, and a lot of what we hear out in the industry is that the first place that people go to search, to find, to learn more is that mobile device in their pocket. So you need to think through that experience first, and then obviously always have your desktop version. But mobile first is really what folks are doing.
You know, it's interesting. You know, Google always talks about these, you know, micro moments of buying truth. And I had one of those when I was at the airport last week where I saw a guy wearing a pair of orange sneakers, and orange is my favorite color. And so I go up to the guy and go, "Where'd you get those?" He goes, "I got them at Amazon," right? So I take a picture of them. I step behind him. I go on Amazon. I find the shoes and I order them all within 1 minute. Didn't even know 2 minutes ago I wanted those shoes, and a minute later I had bought them.
Right. So yeah, and that's happening consistently. Again, because it, that phone, that device is in most cases always attached to you, right? So if you get an idea, if you see a product, within minutes, you're on that page where that product is and about to hit that buy button. And that's just tremendously changing the retail landscape versus, I'll go to a store and I'll find it. You're really making those micro decisions to buy that item. And that's really what's behind the push of mobile commerce.
Tom, thanks so much. I got to go out and buy some more things. If you want to get into touch with Tom, go to www.clariscommerce.com. Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks, Barry.
Coming up, did you know there's another kind of company you can set up besides a CS or LLC? We're going to talk about B Corporation in our next segment. This is AM560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
Balance of Nature's Fruits and Veggies.
I feel like at least 50% better so far. I'm not as fatigued because I do construction work, so I normally get knocked around a lot, and I'm like 60-plus years old, and I'm still doing it, and I can start beating guys half my age now.
With the tremendous success of Dr. Howard's free set of fruits and veggies giveaway and the 120-day health challenge, this holiday season we are doubling down. Call now and see how you can get your free month supply of fruits and veggies, plus a month supply of fiber and spice, over a $100 value, free. Give the gift of health to yourself and loved ones, perhaps the greatest gift you'll ever give.
Call 800-2468-751. That's 800-2468-751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moults.
Well, when setting up a company, most entrepreneurs only consider three types of corporations, the C, the S, and the LLC. But there is another choice, a certified B Corporation. Here to guide us through it on how to see if this is right for you is Wendy Strager, who is an award-winning entrepreneur, author, loveologist, and sex educator, whose work has helped thousands of people reclaim their passion and heal their relationships. She's the founder and CEO of Good Clean Love, a pioneer in the organic personal care product industry. Wendy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's delightful to be here. Thank you.
So tell us, what is a B Corporation and why should you set one up?
Well, you know, a B Corp, you know, I think there's a little bit of a confusion about what you're saying. So let me just give you a little bit of background of B Corps. So B Corps exist as actually structures in some states, like Oregon just recently passed a law that you can be a benefit corporation. And I want to say that there's maybe 10 states that actually recognize that as a corporation. But even for states that don't recognize that, there's certifiers, which the B Corp is really the certifier that does that processing outside of state regulations. So, for instance, I'm a C Corp, but I'm also a benefit corporation. So, you know, and the other thing that's important to know about that is that a benefit corporation, generally speaking, whether, you know, especially if it's just a B Corp certified or a benefit corporation in the state, does not have its own tax ramifications. So you still pretty much have to designate as one of those other forms, C, S, or LLC. So it's a little confusing. So why would you go through the process of certifying and becoming a benefit corporation is really, I think, the question you're asking. So it's a new model. So basically what I'm telling you is that it's something that we're just conceiving of, which is that we do business, we build businesses as a benefit structure. So that means that it's not just a benefit to ourselves or our shareholders, that it's not business as usual, just like about the bottom line, but that it's that whole triple line bottom effect, that bottom line effect. So that businesses are responsible to their employees, to their communities, to the environment. And so, you know, that is how I think about business. And there's actually an incredibly interesting tribe of companies that if you were to ever want to be know more about it and look on the B Corp website, they list all the companies worldwide, actually, that do that. And it's a really cool tribe to be part of. So,
well, Wendy, I appreciate you being on the show. If people want to learn more about what you're doing at Good Clean Love, where should they go?
They can go to goodcleanlove.com, but I just do want to say one other thing about B Corps in general is that, you know, you go through this very extensive certification process, and we already had done many of those things. So for us, it was just really like learning that we were already in this tribe in some ways. But, you know, a lot of those companies, in fact, all of them make more per capita or whatever compared to their competitors. And so I think what's really important to know, and that if I could say one last thing, is that
you've got about 5 seconds.
When you do well for others, you do well. And that's actually the really basic premise of B Corp.
Wendy, thanks for being on the show. And thank you for all of you for joining this week's radio show. Remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. I want to thank our sponsors, Microsoft and Nextiva, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffran, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, give me a call, 773-837-8250. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling